In Raleigh, the General Assembly is back in full swing with a wide variety of issues on the table this year, including education. Last week, the Public School Forum of North Carolina released its annual list of top priorities for lawmakers this year when it comes to our schools. ncforum.org is their website. You can go there and find out more about the organization and its list of five top priorities. We're joined now in the studio by Marianne Wolf, who is the president and executive director of the Public School Forum, also a former Chapel Hill Carver City School Board member, joining us here in the studio. Marianne, thank you so much for being with us. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you, as always, for covering such important issues.
Absolutely. So, first of all, before we get into the 5 points, just your general overview, what's the state of the schools as we head into 2023?
Well, I'm always reminded just how important our schools are in our communities, and you've heard me say before, they truly are the hub and bring together so many important aspects of what our kids and families need, but also what our state and our economy needs. And so when we were preparing for the top issues this year, one thing that really stood out to us is that North Carolina is ranked number one in business. And I think that's a really important point. We're attracting big business. We're attracting a lot of people coming in. But there's another number that's pretty startling. We're actually ranked 48th in the country in terms of per pupil expenditures when you adjust for regional cost differences. And we're ranked number 50th in terms of funding effort. This is a very big deal because to have the workforce we need, our schools are critical to that, to make sure that we're able to prepare those in our state to be ready for those jobs. Our schools are critical for that. So we believe that this is a really important point that they need to go hand in hand. So how do we make sure we are investing in our schools as a state? I don't think 48th is good enough for anyone in North Carolina. And how do we do more so that we're able to continue thriving in our economy as well?
So you list five top issues. Two of them have to do with attracting good teachers. One of them is growing and diversifying the teacher pipeline, so bringing in new teachers. And I know that pipeline has been drying up in recent years. And then to ensure fair and competitive compensation for teachers already on the job. So say more about those.
We do know that the teacher shortage is very real here in North Carolina. At the beginning of this school year, we had 3,600 vacancies, and every one of those represents a classroom of many, many students. We also know that another 3,600 spots were filled by teachers that were not fully licensed. And I have many friends and colleagues who have their own children in classes that do not have a certified teacher even now a semester in. So when we look at this, we have to think about, why do we have this shortage? Why are we not recruiting teachers at the level that we need? One of the things we know is that over the past decade, our enrollment in our educator prep programs, our colleges of ed, have gone down by over 40%. That is very, very significant. So even if we've turned the corner a little, we're still much, much lower than a decade ago. We also know as a state that we fall well below the national average, almost $11,000 below the national average when it comes to our average teacher pay. That is a lot of money. Our teachers can't afford to live in the communities in which they serve, and many talk about this paycheck to paycheck that they're forced into. And so when you ask, what should we do? The beauty of it is North Carolina has the resources. We had a significant surplus last year, and we can do more. The Public School Forum recommends that we have a 24.5% raise. And while that is a big one, it is also not excessive. That just gets us to the national average. And it also covers the teacher tax. So what someone who comes out with the degree that they have, with the qualifications they have, if they went into another industry, they would make that much more. So those are our recommendations. We want to recruit and encourage teachers into a very professional workforce that is teaching, but we also want to make sure that we are fairly compensating them so they can afford childcare, afford to live, and really earn what they deserve given their skills and qualifications.
The teacher tax has been around for a long time, and I know when I was in high school, and this was dating myself back in the 90s, I had a teacher who moonlighted at other jobs, and we went to visit her at the Montgomery Wards, where she was working in the electronics department after school. So that's been an issue for a long time, too. And I mentioned that because I'm curious about that 40% drop in the number of people who are entering education schools, because a lot of those issues that you raise are serious issues, but they've also been around for a long time. So what do you think is causing that 40% drop?
So what we know is in North Carolina in particular, that's becoming a bigger and bigger drop. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at what teachers made a couple decades ago to now, it's down 11.8% when you adjust for inflation. So that is becoming harder and harder. And I also think opportunities have continued to expand. New fields have grown and all of that. And so I think when our students see teachers working so hard but struggling, having to work additional jobs, at Eggs and Issues last week, we asked, the teachers in the room. I didn't ask. A different teacher asked, how many of you work a second or a third job? And you cannot believe how many hands went up. I mean,
yeah,
I think every
sure.
educator in the room. And so I think it's just becoming more significant. There are more opportunities. And in our state, there are a lot of opportunities. But if we're not funding our teachers, which are the number one school-related factor, right, that affects student outcomes, we're not going to have the workforce we need. It all comes back to what our state needs as well as our students.
Speaking with Marianne Wolf, President and Executive Director of the Public School Forum, ncforum.org is their website. We're talking about their list of five top priorities for lawmakers this year when it comes to the schools. One of them is addressing the root causes of mental health and school safety crises. What are the root causes?
Yes, and we're seeing that as the number one two priorities for parents. Mm-hmm. So when surveying parents, that's what we are seeing. And we know that our students, the rates of which use suicide in North Carolina, but also major depressive episodes have increased significantly. And we also know that there are many things that cause stress. And one of the ones that we do call out this year is the fact that there is a lot of gun violence in our schools. So in no way am I saying that's the only thing related to mental health, but it is an important one. And a number that was startling to me is that since Columbine, so about 20 years ago, 236,000 students have been in a school where gun violence occurred. And that number just made me pause, because that's not, oh, they know about a school or a school in their district. And so when we look at this, we have to say, what can we do differently than we do right now? And one of the things in North Carolina is we don't have enough social workers, counselors, or psychologists in our schools. Our ratios fall well below the recommended amount. And I know our parents out there feel that. And I know our teachers do, too, because the support is not there. And ultimately, that impacts the kids. So we can more strongly provide those roles in every one of our schools. The other thing that we've moved forward with is suggesting that there are some gun controls, that there are some rules about how we keep guns safe that are in homes, but also really looking at other things that we can do as a state, but also as a nation, to cut down on that, because those, the lack of those controls and the lack of those safety features and allowing, you know, not requiring more universal background checks, that all leads to our kids having to feel unsafe in schools and our teachers as well. And so we see all this is going together. So I'm hoping we'll tackle this in many ways. These are a couple of the ways we recommend this year.
I'm about to ask a loaded question, so take this however you want. We're talking about what lawmakers should do, but we can also talk about what they shouldn't do. And in talking about mental health in the schools among students, rates of mental health issues, rates of depression, rates of thinking about or attempting suicide are much higher among LGBTQ students than the general population as a whole. And we just went through SB 49 in the state Senate, which is a larger education bill, but with provisions that specifically target LGBTQ kids. Thoughts on that? I know that's not in this at all.
Well, I think it's very related to addressing those root causes of mental health. And our schools do need to be a safe place for students to go and learn. And when we think about parents' rights, we believe that our parents should be able to know that they're sending their kids to a school that is safe. And we also believe that our students should be able to know that as well. And so I was struck this week in hearing teachers and social workers and others talk about this legislation by how much they focused on what students need and how we respect that that is a place that our teachers have a professional code of ethics that they follow. And that goes to working with students and providing a space for academic, social, and emotional growth. And so we are very concerned when some of the legislation that's coming through directly could put students in danger if there is a requirement that teachers notify their parents about something they know about the student that could in fact lead to them being in danger in their homes. And so we are really thinking about, there's a lot of rights that parents and students do have right now and absolutely should have. When we think about this, we know what our research says, we know what students need, and we know that they need to feel safe in their schools, and that relationship with teachers is very important. And so we hope that everyone listens up and thinks about research, which we say we want to do, and really keep our students safe.
Back to what we want legislators to do, one of the points here is one of the top priorities, and I think this has been one of the top priorities for 30 years now, is to fully fund the Leandro plan, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, in the fall, the Supreme Court did in fact rule that the state should invest more money into schools that were not meeting the what's required by our Constitution for a sound basic education. And there's even dollar amounts given of how much more we should give. The Supreme Court has ruled. We've heard that there is another hearing coming up on March 10th. where that, you know, had been remanded to a trial court. And so we're, of course, watching out. The thing that I keep coming back to is if we want to be the best state and we want to attract people here, we need strong, thriving schools. And none of this is just about money, Aaron. None of it. It's all about what do we invest in. And every single child deserves a highly qualified teacher, principal, a place where they can be safe, have support for social, emotional, and academic learning, and do that. And so that's what that's all about. And I hope that our state continues and our courts adhere to what they ruled in the fall.
Speaking with Marianne Wolf, Public School Forum of North Carolina, talking about the five priorities that they've listed for lawmakers in 2023. We've covered four of them. The fifth one is the one that I'm most interested in because it seems to be the biggest and broadest, and that's just you prepare students for the world they live in. And that's a direct quote. What does that mean in practice?
Absolutely. So we know that when our students go out into the world, they need to have many different skills, and they're academic related, but they're also communication and empathy and ability to collaborate in all of those aspects. And part of that is very much social emotional learning, which talks about self-regulation and management and how you interact and responsible decision making. So our state has the State Board of Ed pass the Portrait of a Graduate, which talks about what do we want our graduates to be able to do and to know when they graduate. And that is absolutely encompassed in that. So when you hear conversations about what schools should and shouldn't do, our job in K through 12 education is to provide a sound basic education. And we see that as making sure that every child is ready for college and career and also to engage in our democracy. And so to do that, we need social emotional learning. We need those opportunities for students to have hands-on learning and critical thinking. And we also need to measure what it is that we say we care about. So our current grading system, A through F, is based on test in a day, right? And so we need to move to multiple measures that really show what we believe our kids can do. And it all goes back to where we started. If we want to have a strong, thriving economy, we must in fact, be preparing our students for that world, and that will allow us then to continue to attract the businesses we do so that we all can live in communities where people have real opportunities.
Yes. What are some of the measures that we should be using to measure schools? Because you're right, the grading system, the thing that fascinated me the most looking at the grading system is that it literally corresponds, I think in Chatham County in particular, but other counties as well, you could 100% predict a school's grade just by knowing what percentage of the students are on free and reduced lunch. So it's that's the defining factor. So moving away from that, what do we move to?
Absolutely. So right now it's based on 80% proficiency on that one test and 20% growth. But there could be students that grow two full years in a year but not quite make it to that proficiency. Mm-hmm. And then that is not deemed as positively, right? Because it's 80% proficiency. So one thing we have been long advocating for is a much stronger balance between growth that a student shows and the proficiency in which they obtain. We're always aiming for that proficiency, of course, but growth should be recognized if our schools are able to do that and our teachers. We also think that we need to be thinking about equity and access to opportunities. So what opportunities are our schools able to provide, and how do our students access those opportunities? And are we doing that in a way that every student has that chance? And the last thing, and this could be a much longer conversation another day, but when you think about how important critical thinking and problem solving is, how are we making sure that that's happening in our schools? And so that is a more complex measure, but it is in fact something we can work on. And I would also add, we want to make sure the culture in our school is supportive of our schools and our teachers, because that all works together too. And so that's another avenue that we could consider when we look at this.
People want more information. Where can they go?
They can absolutely go to the Public School Forum of North Carolina's website, ncforum.org. And we're always happy to talk. And we just feel that our job is to make sure clear information is out there so that people can understand what's happening in their schools and in our state.
Speaking with Marianne Wolf, Public School Forum, and as we wrap up, one more question. I want to go all the way back to one of the first things you said, which is we're the number one business state in the U.S. We're also 48th in teacher spending, and we're towards the bottom on so many metrics. And so often we say that the businesses are coming because of the schools, and there's such a correlation there, but there is that big gap between we're number one here and we're number 50 there. So is there a correlation, or are we hitting an inflection point? Like, how should we interpret that?
I think this is we're at a very critical point. North Carolina has a lot of positive aspects, and we know that. We are one of the lowest states, as an example, in corporate income tax. But we're going so low now that I don't think that's making the difference anymore. We're already in the bottom 10, and we're headed towards 0% corporate income tax. So I think a lot of businesses are coming here anyway, because we've always been very business friendly, and we certainly encourage that. We want to be a competitive state. The piece that I think is going to catch up to us is this lack of investment for many years. We're starting to see that in very real time, not having the teachers that we need, seeing teachers stepping away and leaving, with compensation being a major piece of that, and that will impact our students. And I know community colleges and higher ed and early childhood will also have, you know, comments to make about this, because it's the entire continuum that we're talking about here. So I think we need to step up and do what our schools and our families deserve. And our businesses are going to want their employees to come here, to want to come here, to be in our schools. And right now, we are at a point where we have to do a lot, think differently, and make sure that we're meeting the needs of every student.
ncforum.org is the website for the Public School Forum of North Carolina. You can go there, get the full report of top priorities for 2023 and a lot more information as well. Marianne Wolf, pleasure as always. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. You always ask great questions, Aaron.